right, and welcome to the Aging Well Together show. You are hearing me laughing because our guests are already having so much fun and taking pictures of each other, and we haven't even started yet. All right, welcome to the Aging Well Together show. Today's show is going to be fascinating. It's all about green burial and conservation cemeteries and a new green burial preserve in Orange County. So there's so much to learn about. I'm excited for all the information we'll learn together. But before we dive into our show topic, I want to give a shout out to WCOM-LP Chapel Hill Carrboro 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. The show is also available to stream anytime on WCOMFM.org and through streaming services including TuneIn Radio and Radio Garden. So many thanks for listening to us in any way we're coming to you. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the wonderfully helpful team from the Orange County Department on Aging. Please join us each week as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. If you want more information, and I think you're going to want more about today's topic or any of the issues we discuss, or to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can email us at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. And our guest today did just that. So that's how they got on and learned, and that's how I learned about this great topic. You can always connect with the Orange County Department on Aging to get more information, and they can be reached at 919-968-2070 or through their website at orangecountync.gov/aging. Quick grammar note, we've been saying / aging, and our guest last week, who's a former reporter, said actually it's a / not a / So orangecountync.gov/aging. And a quick shout out to the wonderful Carrboro based band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, for allowing us to use their original song Mayfly for our opening music, which our guests I think missed because they were so busy taking cute pictures. But we'll play the song for a lot longer at the end of the show. And before turning it over to our guests, I am your host, Heather Altman. I've spent over 25 years working in aging services, and I continue to work with older adults and their families, connect with supportive resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 52, I'm focusing on my own changing needs, so I'm super invested in how we are all aging well together. All right, now for our great guest panel this week. We have three guests, and so we're a big, cozy group coming to you today. We have Salitha Faribo, Heidi Hannapel, did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay, and Jeff Mastin.
Hi.
All right, good. Everyone's looking at me like I said their names right. Salitha is a fifth-generation native of Hillsborough. She serves on Bluestem's Council of Stewards. She retired last year after 18 years with the North Carolina Community College System and now spends as much time in nature as possible, leading hikes around the Triangle for Girl Trek. And Salitha's brother, Akalima, did I say that?
Yes,
is buried at Bluestem. Jeff Mastin and Heidi Hannapel are the co-founders and co-directors of Bluestem. Previously, Jeff was the director of conservation strategies at Triangle Land Conservancy for a dozen years. Heidi was the Southeast representative for a national conservation group. 8 years ago, they formed Land Matters, a consulting firm that specializes in conservation burial projects around the country. And 2 years ago, they formed Bluestem Community, the nonprofit that manages and operates the Nature Preserve and Conservation Cemetery in Cedar Grove, North Carolina. Okay, friends, I am so honored and excited to have you all here. So welcome, Salitha and Heidi and Jeff.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. It's great to have you here. And I told Heidi and Salitha, I was just telling folks yesterday about today's topic, and they were so interested in Green Burial, and they're streaming now to listen. So this is a big issue I've been hearing about for years, and I'm so excited to talk about Bluestem. So we have a lot to get into. I'm taking a pause. Before we really start talking about Bluestem, I always like to just give you each a moment to tell about yourselves. I know I did a little bit in the intro, but a little bit about your backgrounds and what brought you to this work. So I'm looking at Salitha first, so share with us.
Okay, thank you. So what brought me to this work was actually
the death of my brother, Akalima. He and I visited Blue Stem last April as healthy people. Heidi and Jeff gave us a tour. We were excited to learn about Blue Stem, and we were very interested in Green Burial. So I had to call them 4 months later with the terrible news that he had died suddenly. And one of his last requests was to have a green burial. So we've been connected ever since. With me, you know, coming to visit, volunteering, just doing what I can do, just loving the way they take care of my brother's final resting place. And it's been a place of healing for me, so I will just always be connected.
We're going to spend a lot more time talking about Akalima and your decision to go to Blue Stem. I'll move it the topic forward just for a moment, so our listeners in just a bit will kind of learn about what it is, and then I want to hear more about that.
Sure.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Jeff, your hard to transition over, but your journey that brought you to Blue Stem.
Yeah, I started thinking about a green burial and a conservation burial back in 2006 when I was the director of conservation, really thinking about ways in which to integrate this larger community asset with conservation. And it was ahead of its time then, but as Heidi and I started working together, and specifically as we both helped our parents die at home and the journey that we went through to do that, we kind of looked at each other and knew that this was good work that really is our, I guess we call it our conservation swan song. Mm-hmm. So it's a long lasting project, 100-year project that will endure far beyond us and have a large impact in the community and a large conservation impact.
Wow. Okay, these are just teaser comments because there's a lot more we're going to get into with that, but I want Heidi to have a chance at the microphone. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you. Not too much more to say than what my friends have offered. I think the personal piece for this is what Jeff was describing, helping my mother die at home, and he was a good friend to me during that time. Mm-hmm. We both actually had to step away from our work so mm-hmm. that we could be full caregivers for our parents, and that's very draining and demanding and important work. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes when you have experiences like that, I felt I was walking through a whole new landscape, mm-hmm. and it changed my life. Mm-hmm. And luckily I was good friends with Jeff, and we had been talking about a different type of conservation project, one that we often we'll refer to as sort of the missing puzzle piece for conservationists. We do a lot of open space protection and land protection and water quality and habitat enhancement, but we haven't always recognized that bringing a loved one to a beautiful place that you're already attached to only furthers your connection to land and your interest in wanting to protect that land and preserve it mm-hmm. for the future.
Well, I am so honored and touched that you are here, and we are new friends. We've been friends for about 15 minutes now, and you don't know much about my journey, and I haven't shared much on the air, but like the two of you, my world blew up in 2019, and in January of 2020, I quit my full-time job after 17 years to be a full-time family caregiver for my parents and was with my dad's healing journey, and he's been a guest on the show. We thought it was going to be an end-of-life journey, but it ended up being a healing journey, and then my mother's end-of-life journey. And so it touches me very personally, that experience. And I think part of this radio show, it's completely transformative when we go through that intensity. And so I think we're all kind of living out our new universe of what caregiving and grief and transition has done for us. So while I want to ask all about Blue Stem, for our listeners who may not be familiar with the term green burial, I know that's a relatively new term for myself that I've heard over the years. So I'm not sure which one. Jeff, maybe I'll ask you, what is green burial?
Yeah, so I like to simplify it. The what I tell people is, you know, when you hear someone say, just bury me in a pine box.
Yeah.
Really, to put it in basic terms, it's a simple, natural burial where there's no embalming. Everything is biodegradable. There's no outer shell around a casket. It's essentially burying someone directly into the earth, whether it be in a shroud or mm-hmm. a casket. But it's all made of decomposable materials,
mm-hmm.
and so it's really about. It's not new. This is something that goes back prior, you know, in eons.
Yeah.
Right. We've always had to bury people. It's, you know, thousands and thousands of years, and it's really just a simplified version of what was before. Really, the kind of the era of the Civil War when they started embalming people to send them home, and that really transformed the whole industry into a different form of burial.
Mm-hmm. And it does seem to be. Latest is clearly not the right word, since this has been going on for centuries, but with a lot of discussion, especially in our community around conservation strategies, this seemed to be an interesting marriage between, and it's from both of your backgrounds, coming from the conservation world, was this sort of a natural next step of, because I know there was a question that I had about conservation strategies, and I'm not sure if people realize that green burial is, I think, the ultimate conservation. I'm sort of whispering into the microphone. Oh, no.
That's very exciting to hear you say that it could be considered an ultimate conservation strategy. It's a fairly new strategy for the conservation movement,
yeah,
as well. And we, Jeff and I, have been very involved in that movement, trying to educate conservation organizations about the potential that these projects have for them. We mm-hmm. never assume that a conservation organization would consider it a right fit for their organization, but we do think that there is a natural marriage of returning bodies naturally, simply mm-hmm. to a property such as Bluestem, a nature preserve, where we have very intentionally wrapped our green burial program mm-hmm. into the permanent management of that land.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about our conservation strategies in more depth on the website than you might want us to go into, but that's the two of them are mm-hmm. very intertwined. Mm-hmm. I like to say that we actually are weaving them together and providing opportunities for community members to come in and not only be participant in the act of a natural burial, but actually serve as burial crew members. Wow. For some of our burial services.
Go on.
Well, I was just going to add that there are only like 13 of these in the country, so it's evolving, and we're, you know, the number 13, and we're really lucky because we've had these conversations over the last 4 or 5 years with many land trusts throughout the country. And we have two partner land trusts here in the region that will be working with us. I wanted to say that Triangle Land Conservancy and the Eno River Association were immediately on board with this concept and this idea. So they're embracing this connection between the conservation and the green burial.
Wow. And so before I ask more questions, which I'm going to keep doing, you mentioned your website. I've spent some time on your website, and it does share so much information in your story. We'll do it a few times, but because I always mess up people's websites. Do a shout-out to what your website is, so that way folks can.
It's www.bluestemcemetery.org.
Okay.
And just a tip, cemeteries with all E's.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would probably miss bluestemcemetery.org with all E's and no slashes, /or/. So then walk us through the connection between, I'm shocked that there's only 13, I have to say. But so this idea, and then how it literally became Bluestem, how you became the lucky 13 to start it here in our community.
Well, so there's There are green burial cemeteries. There are cemeteries, in fact, here in Carrboro, just
a block away.
Well, that's what I thought. That's why I was like, how are there only 13? But yeah. Okay, so yeah, different.
So that's essentially a municipal cemetery that has a green burial section or supports some green burial within it. So there are private cemeteries and public cemeteries and church cemeteries that do allow green burial, but they're not conservation burial grounds. Then there are natural burial grounds, which is another level. And there's an organization called the Green Burial Council that has created standards mm-hmm. that defines kind of how you fit into each category.
Got it.
The difference between the conservation burial moniker is that we will actually have a conservation easement over the top of the property, and we will manage our property very differently and more intensely towards the land conservation and the resource conservation.
Thank you. I was going to ask about that. So then, Bluestem, so you came together over shared grief and caregiving and maybe cocktails. And so how did Bluestem, come? And so you said, all right, there are these other burial places, but we want to do it to, the full. I don't know why I'm having this vision of, because Carrboro is known for, more organic stores per capita than any other place, this feels like an organ. How did you decide to create your own conservation cemetery that would meet the highest level of standard for conservation?
So we actually, much to the chagrin of our spouses, have gone to about 40 different natural and conservation burial grounds throughout the country. And really investigated what they are and what we liked, what we didn't like. And so we started there, and we kind of always knew that we wanted to bring a project to our community, kind of as a place where we could develop the burial ground that we felt was appropriate. So we learned from other places what we really liked, what was appropriate, and what might not be a good fit, because throughout the country, there are just different spaces. There are, coastal,
space.
Right, coastal areas, et cetera. Right, so Bluestem is 87 acres. So it's a nice, large property. And we knew that we wanted to create something that was essentially had its own sense of place, a destination, and thus the nature preserve aspect of it. Some of them are smaller and more intimate mm-hmm. and tucked into a community, which is great. I mean, they're all unique in their own respect. So we knew that in our community, the cultural heritage, the natural heritage of this region, especially since we've been doing conservation in this region, mm-hmm. we just had a good feel for the kind of land, the kind of feeling that we wanted. And when we walked on the property the first day, we knew it. I mean, within an instant, we knew mm-hmm. it. We didn't say it to each other.
No, you've always said that I should never fall in love with a piece of property. And the minute I crossed over that threshold, it was a given mm-hmm. to me. It is just such a beautiful place.
Yes,
and I think Salitha will say so as well.
It absolutely is beautiful.
Well, and I guess I'm not sure why you wouldn't want to fall in love with the property, except for I'm only thinking, because of the price tag,
That's
maybe.
Right.
Is that why?
It's just the challenge of making the acquisition and making it work, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it
can be heartbreaking work.
Yes, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
I'm sure. And in this area, 87 acres, not inexpensive. I won't ask for the, paperwork, but how did so it went from a dream to a reality to a space that you were trying not to fall in love with, but you did. And then somehow, how do you have that discussion with the real estate property person? Hey, can we have your property to ...
There's a story there, too.
Well,
you're on a radio station to tell stories,
right.
So go forth.
I think the story that we feel... Well, there's this fun story, which is that the gentleman who owned the land actually wanted to speak with us when mm-hmm. he heard that we were looking at the land, because he understood that we were conservationists.
Okay.
So that's a real, I think, important theme for us in our project, is that we do come to this work thinking about how we use land and how we're taking care of our natural resources. People from around the country have developed projects like this based on their expertise. Some are social workers, some are death doulas, mm-hmm. some are community organizers. So there's a real personal, I think, push towards developing the project that you have envisioned. And like Jeff is saying, we really studied the examples around the country, always with the intention of creating something that really fit for the Piedmont. So the gentleman was pretty intrigued with us, but that was another story for another time. The most powerful story for me about Bluestem is we started bringing people to the property to show them mm-hmm. this beautiful place and to describe what we had envisioned for it. And the community support for this project was unbelievable.
Yeah,
we were able to raise all of the money to pay for the land in the space of a year.
Wow.
And that felt like a miracle in a way, that this project was right timed
mm-hmm.
and a right fit for a willing community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's been a great affirmation, I think, for both of us, that you can have a dream, but making that dream a reality takes a lot of work. And we are so grateful to all of the volunteers, to all of the families who actually are making Bluestem the sacred place that it is.
So I want to ask a lot more questions about Bluestem and its coming to fruition. But Salifa, I'd love to talk with you a little bit more. And because you said you and Akalima
yes.
had heard about it. So
yes.
how did you hear about it? How did you connect?
I read about it in the Orange County News.
Oh.
I think they were advertising that, you know, a cemetery, Green Burial Cemetery, was opening. So I shared it with Akalima and a sister. My sister was unable to make it, so the two of us ended up on a tour with Heidi and Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Were you already in the conservation space or what? Because that's fascinating to read about, like, that psychological jump from, hey, that's an interesting article, to, hey, let's go check this out.
My brother Akalima was very interested in land and water conservation.
I was going to say, tell me a little bit about him.
He loved animals, the natural world. He was conserving water at home. He was very careful about how he used the resources, very thoughtful. And a lot of times he would talk to people about it. So when we went to Bluestem and it wasn't open,
mm-hmm.
but we were walking, and they said, you're in the cemetery now. I mean, it was just unbelievable. I had never, you know, seen anything like it.
What does it look? I haven't been there. So what does it look? Is it, will you tell me, is it a big garden or a big forest? Or?
So when we went, of course, they weren't open, but now they're open.
Were you trespassing, or
right
did they
now?
Say you could go? They're not going to arrest you, clearly. You're like, oh, let's go. They're smiling.
No, now there are wildflowers.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go visit his grave, I pick the flowers along the way and
mm-hmm.
place those. There is a sanctuary
mm-hmm.
to sit and reflect, and you hear the birds, you see butterflies, all kind of wildlife. It's just absolutely beautiful.
So you heard about it and you were able to go walk around, and then did you have that same experience that Heidi and Jeff was trying to hold off his love, but as soon as you walked on the ground, did you say, yeah, this is
yes.
the place for us?
So we talked about it on the way home, and we decided then that once they opened, we would contact them to see what it would be like to actually plan for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because both of us, we really believe that just as in birth we plan for that, you
mm-hmm.
should also plan for end of life.
Absolutely.
And we talked about that all the time. We visited cemeteries to find our ancestors. He was my go-to person for that. So that was something we did together. So it was not unusual for us to be doing things like that.
And in your bio, was it you're a fourth or fifth generation here in Hillsborough? So
yes.
were you looking at cemeteries and places around Orange County, or were you, like, you probably have a lot of family here?
We wanted to be in Orange County, but we didn't know where we were going. So, like, our parents are in the town cemetery. And they don't have any plots available.
The town of Hillsborough.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they stopped doing that. So we didn't really know where we would go. So we had thought about cremation. But we wanted to be naturally buried, but we didn't know where we were going.
Yeah, it's, forgive, I always try to add a little levity. But, yeah, land is hard to come by. And
yes.
even for our burial plots, it's not easy. I know
Absolutely.
My parents, they got a family plot right when it first opened oh gosh, about 20 mm-hmm. years ago, and we finally put it to use 3 years ago. But
so
yeah,
I didn't know, but he had discussed this with all the family members.
Good for him.
So when I called them, they weren't surprised at all. And Heidi and Jeff helped us just sort of manage how we were going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we got it done.
And then, whatever you're comfortable sharing, and then it sounds like unexpectedly it became a real option and a real need too many months after, right?
So I was out hiking and got a call from him that he was ill and in the hospital. And unfortunately, the very next day, he died. So it was really sudden and shocking.
I am so sorry.
But thank you. That was one of his last requests, that he would have a green burial. So we didn't know how we were going to do it. I said, I don't know if they're open. Are they on vacation? So I just called Heidi.
Heidi's the woman.
Heidi was shocked about the call because he was so full of life. Mm-hmm. If he was in here with us right now, he would ask you a few questions about yourself. He would never forget your name, never forget where he met you, and you could be at the Carrboro Farmers Market, and he would recognize you.
We'd be longtime friends after that.
That's the kind of light that he was.
Well, and it sounds as his light is continuing on. You talk about him with so much beauty, and before we even came on the air, you showed pictures, and I saw pictures of the wildflowers around his burial space. It is really beautiful, and it sounds like you go there often. And how is it now part of your life, your everyday? Because it sounds like, I know a few things, you're here on this show for a reason. You're pretty active with the group.
Well, at first, it was just a part of my healing journey, going there to see his final resting place, maybe taking flowers. I'm the person in the family that does that.
Yes.
I go around with finding the ancestors. I like to place flowers and things like that. But at Blue Stem, I can't go put some plastic flowers on his grave. So that was another thought process. You know, everything has to be biodegradable.
Mm-hmm.
So, just thinking about that and how that might look, I just like for his grave to have a little color, mm-hmm. and it overlooks a meadow.
Beautiful.
And of course, you know, when we were doing this, we didn't really know what we were going to do. Heidi would say, would you like to help us, you know, with the burial? And all I could say was, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can tell you that over 100 people are coming, and I just really don't know what we will do.
Yeah.
But
you talked about it beforehand. You said we were going to have a small private family, and your small private family was 125 people.
Right. It was family and friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he was really very well loved.
And tell me if I push it with questions. How did your family receive it? I know I come from a family with traditions, and certain people are okay with doing different traditions, mm-hmm. and other people are like, what's with this?
Yeah.
How did the crowd, how did the celebrants
Our family, our parents, our grandparents are already gone, so we went through traditional burials with mm-hmm. the wake, you know, the embalming, showing the body. But this generation, we want something different. So a lot of my family is now interested in green burial. Some people will be cremated, but they may not be doing traditional.
Sure.
Just looking at other ways to do this. But that morning, I mean, it was just the most beautiful morning for a burial, if you could imagine. It was sad occasion.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just something very comforting about it. And it just naturally happened and moved. It wasn't like a plan.
Yeah.
And my niece sang a beautiful hymn, and while the birds were chirping and butterflies were on his resting place, I've just never experienced anything like it. And from the feedback that I received from people who actually attended, they just thought it was wonderful.
It sounds
we've never experienced
stunning.
Anything like that before.
Well, and I think, what a wonderful way to honor, and if it's okay, I'd love a tour, a time, and Salitha, if you can take me and bring me to Akalima's place, and then Heidi and Jeff, I really want to go, because selfishly, I really want to go. I'm part of the Chapel Hill community. I have two daughters, and one is very into geology. She's already picked out the sort of stones that she might, and they're interested in a non-traditional, even though that's a wrong word because it's so traditional, but sort of going back to it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, with my background, so I was raised Jewish, and my family, we had a cemetery plot, though my mother said we had to get in the interfaith section because of you. So I appreciated that certain cemeteries have the green burial. So the Jewish cemetery in the Boston area where my family is, but my husband's not Jewish, so we got the interfaith section for you. But when we go there, and one of the neat things about the Jewish tradition is you generally don't bring flowers, you place rocks. And so I'll show you a picture afterwards of my mother's, her headstone, but it's covered with rocks.
Nice.
And so I think that might be kind of a neat, and at her unveiling, I wanted to make it a little pretty. I don't know. So I ordered a series of gems, rocks, and the ones with colors I can't find that are more gemmy or anyway, pretty rocks. So I'll show. It's very colorful. So if you like it for Akalima,
sure.
I can show you where you can get these rocks. But there is something to that about sort of adding to the preserve feeling of it.
And also, you mentioned in my bio that I have a Girl Trek group that I lead.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. What's Girl Trek?
So Girl Trek is an organization that focuses on Black women's health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep us healthy. We tend to take care of our families. And sometimes we neglect taking care of ourselves. So it was formed over a decade ago by two friends, and now it is, worldwide. So we encourage women to walk at least 30 minutes a day, and then on the weekend we take a longer hike or a walk. So it's a fellowship, it's a supportive group, but they're everywhere. We put on our Girl Trek t-shirts and we go.
Weekly, monthly?
It's every week.
Every week. I'm going to get in so much trouble when Alicia hears this. So Alicia Reed, who's my co-host, she's so fabulous. She may be in because right after this is Afternoon Talk with Alicia, and she's the wellness, one of the wellness instructors for the senior centers. And she didn't get to come today because we only have three microphones, so I told her that she couldn't join. And she's going to be all over Girl Trek.
Okay,
she's going to love it. So we may see her soon.
Yeah, there's several chapters around Orange, Durham County.
Great.
So,
she's going to be mad she wasn't on this show today.
So
she already was annoyed. And I mean, not mad, but just wanted to join it. And so
we've gone hiking, bird watching out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the first... the women were really grieving about him dying because he was with us most Saturday mornings.
Oh, so you let him in?
Yes.
He's not a girl.
Well,
but
I
you
know.
Let him in.
So the story behind that was he said, I'll show you some, trails in Chapel Hill. I said, okay. So I invited him, and he, came with us, and the women seemed to receive him, and I didn't invite him on the next time. I'd wanted to see what their reaction was. And he called me up and said, so... am I going to get to walk with Girl Trek or like what's going on?
He was a sort of a, what's the word I'm looking for?
He was an ally, really.
Yes, an ally, but it was sort of an ad hoc member or some other, a guest,
so
ex officio, we'll find some fun.
Yeah, so I had to check with the ladies, see if it was okay, and they absolutely loved him, of course. And he made us hiking poles and, he was always finding new trails for us.
Well, and as I hear your powerful story, and I stalked your website a little bit, and you, Salitha, you are an example of a large group of community members that have really joined the Blue STEM community. I actually was a little, not to say jealous, but I was a little shocked when I looked at your board of stewards? Council of Stewards. So many, I knew so many people on it. Shanae McPherson, who's been on the show here, because she's part of the wonderful team at the Orange County Department on Aging. And there's, and I won't mention all the other ones, but I know a bunch of other ones on it. And I was like, wow, everyone has heard of this party, and I had not. So how did you invite so many people into this journey? Heidi, clearly you're outgoing because Heidi emailed me and said, I heard you have an Aging Well Together show. We want to be on it. And then I heard how great you all were. So I was like, it was a very quick vetting process. I sent it to the Orange County and they said, yes, get Blue STEM on. So how did you get everyone in on this party?
Well, Jeff has this really wonderful way about talking about conservation. So again, coming back to that as being part of our origin story, conservation for us centers people in the middle of open space, protected places. We don't protect or think about protecting land to keep it away from people. we think about how they have to be supportive in order for us to do our work, how they have to love on a piece of land as much as we do, how they bring their volunteer efforts to help us maintain this beautiful place for the community. So that, I think, was part of our intention in the very beginning. And we also knew we couldn't make this project happen alone. Mm-hmm. We never think about it as our project. We think about it as a community project. So it's truly community conservation in action. Mm-hmm. And people come to Bluestem however they are, wherever they are, whenever they are.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing about it being open now. We can invite people as much as we want, but if it's not the right time for them, they won't necessarily show up. But Bluestem is open every day from dawn to dusk. If the gate appears closed, there's an opening in the fence, and you walk through the fence, and you are witness to this incredible place, sometimes entirely on your own if no one else is there, except for the spirits.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the spirits are real for me. I felt the moment we buried our first resident, as we call them, I felt them helping us hold this the sacred that's there. And for each person who's been buried, and I think we're at number 24.
Oh, that's a good, I didn't even have that question. Thank you. So you have 24, and I love that you say residents. So 24 residents are there.
We have 24 residents and three of their beloved pets. We also allow for pets
that
to be buried.
That was a question. You had shared some questions, and one was, are pet burials allowed? But you didn't answer it, so I was like, I'm going to ask that. Okay.
One of my favorite stories more recently is this lovely family got in touch with us to say that their dog was dying, and they hoped to bury her at Bluestem. And I said, of course, we'd love to have you do that. Well, because the dog died, they actually ended up choosing their plot. So the dog is buried there now, and we'll welcome them when it's their time.
Well, and continuing on with the welcoming concept, I'm thinking, and the fact that people can come at any time, and Salitha, I'm so touched by you and Akalima, the fact that you came earlier, and it's such a beautiful example to all of us. My whole other hat I wear is with the North Carolina Serious Illness Coalition, and we do so much work around advanced care planning and having people be comfortable with conversations, documenting their wishes, working with the healthcare community so they don't shy away from complicated conversations. And so the fact that you went and visited it, and clearly it's easy to get through and break through. I love the thanks for the insight that there's a gap in the gate, and so you can, so you're just welcoming. It's not trespassing. You're welcoming everyone to come. And so Salitha, just the fact that you were like, yeah, let's go check it out. Clearly, I've done no question in that. I'm just praising you. So
thank you.
Yeah, and so
but we were doing this. You know, we wanted to grow old together. We never thought it would be. He was only 65.
So he's young.
So we thought it would be much later in life.
And I think that's.
But I know that that's Blue part of I'm going to be a resident of Bluestem as well.
Well, I may. Maybe. Well, yeah. I have my plot in Boston, but my family, my daughter and husband are like, we're here in North Carolina. We don't need to be in Boston.
And now I'm seeing the flip side. So I volunteered for my first burial, you know, looking at it from a different perspective, you know, assisting the families. And I had never, Akalima was in a coffin, but I had never seen a shrouded body before. It was absolutely beautiful.
And so that's interesting that you, do you invite the families of your current residents to join the journey of other families? How did that connection happen?
I think if the families, we like to give families a lot of space.
Yeah.
You know, the most important thing for them after burying a loved one is just to have some space. Hopefully we'd love to have them come back. Many do and walk at Bluestem. And we, again, try to give them a lot of space to have their own, you know, wide open sky, wildflowers, bird song on their own, and not to be crowded by us. They're always welcome to continue a relationship with us. And right now for our burial crews, those are generally by invitation only. to our volunteers who come on Friday work days and spend some time learning trail building and all kinds of chores that we have lined up each week. And when we have developed a relationship with those volunteers as well, that's the time when we generally will invite people if they're interested in serving on the burial crew.
Interesting. And so now all these questions are flooding that I hadn't even thought about before. But so you have 24 residents now. Is there a maximum number, or I'm not going to say a goal number? I'm thinking of, Salith, I'm thinking about your family and your parents.
Akalima was number two.
You were number two, but the fact that the town of Hillsborough, that cemetery is now closed, or things like that. So is there a point that Blue Stem will be at max capacity? I don't know the appropriate way to ask that.
Probably 100 years from now.
Okay.
Every, depending on the number of acres and how you build the cemetery, there will always be a terminus.
Mm-hmm.
One of the differences with the Conservation Burial Ground is that our plots are quite large. They're 15 feet by 20 feet. So mm-hmm. the size of a living room, the size of this room.
Yeah, this is, okay, wow.
And so they're very large intentionally, because that's part of the conservation. We're disturbing with a burial, they're not dense, they're not, one after another. It's really dissipated over a larger area. So it's a tenth of what a conventional cemetery would bury at.
So I can't do the math.
Okay.
But 87 acres. How does
10 to 100 per acre, so 8,700.
So you could have 8,700 people there, or pets.
But likely won't have 8,700 because of our conservation mission again, where we're thinking about these beautiful trees. Mm-hmm. We won't bury immediately at the base of a beautiful tree if we're thinking about their root systems. There are also a fair number of rocks on the property, so that will limit the spacing of where we might place a particular burial plot. So I think we like to think of numbers slightly 6, less than that.
6,000.
Mm-hmm. But a conventional cemetery would be 80,000.
Thank you. I was just going to ask.
Yeah. So
you, I was going to say, what is and it depends on how big. So a conventional cemetery is 80, that's a lot of people. 80,000.
Right. We do allow cremated remains as well.
Thank you.
So it's probably more than 6,000, because there would be essentially 6,000 conventional cremated remains and 6,000 natural burial spaces.
Got it. And then we'll have a whole other show on this. We talked about whether we should include it in the show and thought, no, there's too much. But something that is available here in Orange County that I just learned about and is that there's an alternative to cremation, which is aquamation.
Yes.
That's right.
It's not ashes then, but it's used water instead of fire. Yes. But you still have, so those remains also can be used.
That's correct.
To be appropriate here, and I don't know how
I'm going there for a tour.
Oh, for the aquamation?
Yes, I heard about it at a death cafe.
So. Were we at the same death cafe, one at the Seymour Center a few months ago?
Yeah, we may have been.
In the big room?
Yes.
With good food? It was really good?
No, that was a different one. I didn't attend that one.
Oh,
it was before.
I remember the one because it was really good dinner.
It wasn't any
then
food
we
and
talked,
dinner.
Oh, yeah, we need to hang out. I'll tell you all the good death cafe events with food. Okay, so then people, their remains, whether it's through cremation or aquamation, so you can have quite a bit. And I think these options are going to be, especially in our area, I'm just hearing a lot more about it. I think people are talking about not taking up the kinds of space that happens in a conventional ceremony or cemetery, or the casket and all this sort of non-decomposable. I can't find my words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Composable?
And like at Blue Stem, I mean, you walking the trails, it's like the living and the dead, communing together, really. That's how it feels, especially for me, because, my person is there.
It sounds absolutely beautiful. Okay, well, it seems like a weird transition then to ask, but since we're asking questions, one of the things that folks think about, I'm sure, is cost and how cost plays. Is this less expensive, more expensive? I don't know what the convention, I don't remember with, I remember with my mom, it was super expensive, and it was during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So, and that was just for the funeral and all the stuff. The plot had already been purchased. Plots are like $5,000 to $15,000. I thought, right? Am I making that up? Okay.
Well, it depends where. I guess the way of thinking about it is that, well, first of all, it's expensive to die.
Yeah.
And so
beautifully and awkwardly put, it's expensive. It's expensive to live. It's expensive to die.
It is, okay. and it's eye opening when you look at the costs, but recognize that it's an industry that is essential to us, to our end of life, and you know, and our families have to bear some of that burden along the way. When we talk about costs with Bluestem, when you look at the whole cost, you're not paying for embalming. You're mm-hmm. not paying for the outer shell, the vault that goes around the casket.
Mm-hmm.
The caskets tend to be more simple, or the shrouds are less. So each component piece is less. So the net cost for a green burial or a conservation burial is less. Our plots are $4,000 for a natural burial plot and $1,700 for a cremated remain. It's a little bit more than some of the conventional cemeteries, but it's also a portion of that is going towards conservation.
Sure.
So it's almost like you have a lasting impact upon your death towards conservation. So there's a mission-oriented impact that folks have.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you are a nonprofit organization, and so that makes sense that you're also supporting your loved one, but also supporting the organization. Since we did costs, and since we mentioned pets, is it the same cost for our pets?
No, pets are less, and it depends on whether the pet is being buried within your same plot,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's in our other pet burial area. And it really depends on the size of the pet,
sure.
and how much work we have to do to prepare the space. So.
And there's always this little bit of sort of where there's a graphic conversation about this. There's a tactic to try mm-hmm. to do it. I know that we can get, but since I know so many folks love their pets, and I'm a recent convert to the crazy cat lady, and I became a cat lover during the pandemic, and so now I know now the importance. So for listeners who are interested in looking at a place, though, kind of fascinating. You can get a plot for, like, can you reserve a plot for your family and then mm-hmm. have a pet
buried
yes. in it? Oh, this is fascinating. This is so going to be my dinner conversation tonight. Oh, this is so interesting.
Our pets are so important to us.
Yeah.
Some of us have had pets that are more important to us than our very own family members.
Well, I hear that all the time with pets, but now I'm also thinking the whole family plot idea. So can you go in and say, and just reserve it and say, hopefully it will be a lot later. I'm looking at Salitha right now. Hopefully it'll be a lot later, but can we go ahead? We love this spot, and can we reserve this spot for the family?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. And you can reserve multiple spaces, you know, depending. Each burial plot is intended for one interment rite.
Mm-hmm.
We do allow two burials within a 15 by 20 plot, but two interment rites are required. Another part of the property is protected through that. So it's like a transfer of your interment rite from the water quality buffer to a plot. It's a little confusing, but
interesting. Yeah, we got all conservation-y there. That's okay. It's gonna be a whole other show.
It's a
teach
planning
Heather
thing
about
too.
Conservation and okay. And so and then are there? Sorry, I'm thinking about clearly my own family and our own experience. We just last month redid part of the family marker
mm-hmm.
that our family has on my mom's headstone. But so can people put markers up, and what does that look like? I'm sure there are rules. You can't put a big non. Yeah, okay. You just tell me. What are the marker rules?
I have a stone.
You do?
That I have engraved, but I love it, and he would think it would be so cool. He has a GPS on his grave, and you can explain that.
Thank you. I've heard about that.
Yeah.
So do you have a stone, and then the GPS is in the stone, or is it in the plot?
It's in the plot.
Yeah.
So
it's a marker. It's like a survey marker. It's like 3 inches, and it has the individual's name and their dates, and then it's directly in the center of the plot, and that's GPSed, And then we provide the stones for everybody. So it's a flathead stone, mm-hmm. North Carolina stone that we give to folks. They choose to or choose not to have a stone. They can have it inscribed however they want, and then we help them place it on the head.
Well, and Salif, I was just thinking about how you used to go and search out other cemeteries for your family members. Yes. Is this information shareable? Like, should it be? Like, could I come in and see where people are buried or what? Okay, you got the question because you're nodding, so I don't have to ramble on with it.
Well, there's
how public is this information?
There's
about
two
the
things.
GPS?
There's something called Find a Grave, which is a, I don't even know who controls it, but it's like a database that's out there. It's searchable. We're actually looking into that right now. I mean, we've only been open for 9 months now. So
that was another question. Yeah, how long have you been up? 9 months.
9 months.
All right, so
since
it's a baby.
November.
You've been gestating this.
Right.
Okay.
And we're like doing things that we weren't anticipating doing for our third or fourth year. We're already doing them because we've just been moving at this rapid pace and had such great response from folks in pre-sales and you know the number of burials and the amount of restoration work we've done. But anyway, I lost my train of thought.
Well, no, we were talking about the Find a Grave and whether people can search out their own family members or others and how public the information. So you go into a typical cemetery. It's super public because their people's names are on it and you can see it. I don't know how much is then maybe it's searchable. So I'm curious.
It's a little different at Bluestem.
I would think a lot is very different at Bluestem. So how do you do that?
So one of our taglines is, Bluestem is a place where nature is enough.
Oh, nice.
And so we do have a fairly extensive list of rules and guidelines for the cemetery because this is a new experience for people where we're not necessarily inviting people to bring a lot into the cemetery. We ourselves are not trying to change all that much in the cemetery other than restoring the fields and taking out invasives and taking care of what's already there and has been working very hard for all of us for so many years. So people do have the opportunity to receive the GPS location for their loved one.
Mm-hmm.
The marker Jeff described goes in the center of every grave, so that's important for our record keeping. And then some families are choosing to have a stone. Some families don't want a stone. One person said to me recently, I don't even want that marker thing.
Wow.
So it's really a new way for us to be thinking about honoring our loved ones, remembering our loved ones. And I was sharing the stones that are currently on the property with a visitor just this week, and I had to almost bushwhack to get to one of the stones. If you're buried in the grasslands, the grasses and wildflowers cover mm-hmm. your grave. And the way I like to put it is that, and even Akalema has this, nature is embracing you
mm-hmm.
there. And that is the goal for us, is to sort of let go of what we always think we need in a particular place as our memory. But walking out there and sitting out there and listening to the birds and finding your own special route is part of the memory that you can carry forward of your loved one who happens mm-hmm. to be there.
This sounds so beautiful. I know we only have 2 minutes left. There's my one big question I haven't been able to ask, which I think the listeners will be interested in, which is why the name Bluestem? You're all laughing. You're like, oh, you had no idea. And then I asked it. You're like, yeah, that clearly is going to be the question.
Bluestem is kind of the backbone species of grasslands. It's the there are different varieties of bluestem, but from Kansas to Canada to Florida, there's bluestem. But they're not all the same. And so we knew that we wanted to build a climate-resilient property or preserve and take advantage of what has been 150 years worth of agriculture and convert tobacco and cornfields into this pollinator space And Bluestem is like one of the essential elements of that. So the name felt really appropriate for us. And it doesn't imply anything other than the nature of the grassland itself. And so it's place, you know, it's not place specific. It's it just felt very warm and inviting.
It's a hardy, we like to think of as a hardy conservation partner. And this is a great time to come out and see it.
Yeah.
Especially today. It's beautiful today. We're going after this.
And it's just booming in the fields in a very satisfying way for both Jeff and me after planting it last year. And it's just really exploding. So come and visit.
It sounds beautiful. And you are the most beautiful people. I cannot thank you enough for coming on to Aging Well Together and sharing your story. I want to thank Salitha Faribo. I want to thank Jeff Mastin and Heidi Hannapel, all about Bluestem. Do a quick, your website, bluestemcemetery.org. All ease with that cemetery. They gave me the thumbs up. And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us. Another Aging Well Together show on WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carrboro. We're going to play you out with some lovely music, but really, guests cannot thank you enough.